Dear friends, this morning I want to bring to you a word from verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. And I trust that this message would also prepare you, your heart, as you wait for the Lord's table, those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, that it might prepare your heart to receive the emblems. Verse 32 of Romans chapter 8 says this: "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Here we read that God did not spare his own son. We read that God delivered Jesus Christ for us all. And we read that God will give grace, his blessings, all that we need to believing sinners. Friends, God, the Bible is God's final word to mankind. If you want to know what God says, you read the scriptures. You believe the word of God. It tells us who we are. It tells us things that we don't like to hear. Things like that we are wretched sinners, depraved, totally. And he sees everything. The holy God sees everything. It tells us about who God is, how he is the sovereign creator of all things, sustainer of everything. The fact that you're breathing right now is not because your lungs work, but because God is sustaining you. There are many people who've died with their lungs working perfectly, their hearts working perfectly. This Bible, it tells us about the way of peace and knowing this God. To know the way of forgiveness, the way of salvation, the way of eternal life, the way of holiness, and ultimately a safe arrival. Not just living in this life, but safe arrival in God's heaven. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, we are told here, God is telling us something which is supremely wonderful. It is supremely comforting and reassuring. If you are a Christian, that warms your heart. And it is this consideration which brings me to talk to you this morning about this exact verse. He, that is meaning God, that spared not his own son, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but delivering him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Could anything more perfectly tell us that about the love of God? Is there any other passage that could so clearly emphasize the love of God? Could any statement in this world more perfectly reassure us that God is interested in us who, those of us who actually want him, who actually desire him? Is there any text that says that God is interested and loves those who seek him? Because this verse tells us that God delivered Jesus Christ up for us all. There is not one of you sitting here in this room, dear friends, that could bring up some other words of man to explain this. But also, there is, if you are seeking the Lord, if you are really wanting to know who God is, you're included in this text. Christ has been given by God, his Father, for sinners like us. For sinners who want him. Not for sinners who reject him. The context of this passage is actually those people who are seeking him, who want him, who desire him. So, if you don't love him right now, if you don't seek him right now, maybe you ought to ask him to work in your heart this morning. To incline your heart to him. That he would cause you to be shaken up in your soul this morning. I'll try to do my best to do that as well, but it has to be the work of God in your heart. So, I want us to think about this, dear friends. God, who spared not his own son. And that's my first point that I want to live with you. God did not spare His own Son, His only begotten Son. It says, He that spared not His own Son. Look at this. Look at these wonderful statements. God didn't spare His own Son, and then God delivered Him up for us all. And I want to point out that here we are talking about something which really did happen. It did happen. This now is history. That God did not spare His own Son. We read in the Gospels how that took place, how God gave Him up. We read in the Gospels how He was delivered. All of that is history, dear friends. We are not talking about something which is a myth or it is a legend. We are not talking about something which is a mere Bible story. And we have to be very careful when we talk about Bible stories in case the word story conveys the idea that is nothing more than an ordinary story, such as you might have, children's storybooks. No. We're talking about something which belongs to real history. These persons who are associated with the delivering up of Jesus Christ are real historical people. And even unbelieving historians are convinced that there was a man called Herod. And there is clear evidence that Pontius Pilate really did live. And there is overwhelming certainty as to the fact that Jesus Christ existed even outside of the Word of God. That He lived, that He died, and so on. From secular history alone. But the Bible is true. It's a historical book. Never doubt it. So we are here told a fact of history. And it is a fact of history when it is a blessing to us. God didn't spare Him, that is Jesus Christ, because He carefully gave Him up. It was thoughtful. From eternity, that was the plan of God. And He did that because God actually cares for us. God, who loved this world of sinners, gave His Son for our sakes. He delivered Him up, says the Apostle Paul, for our sakes. And this brings comfort. To know that God is so generous. God is so gracious. That God is kind. God is loving to this world. Even though we don't deserve it. Even though He should actually pour His wrath. None of us sinners, none of us suppose that God is a mean, beggarly God who will not open His pocket of mercy, if I could use that phrase. Never think that God is not going to open up His purse, as it were, for those who ask Him. The problem is people don't want Him. That's the natural state of you and me from the time we were born. No man seeks after God, the Bible says. And so God has to humble you. How have you been humbled? How have you been brought so low to the point that you are so confused and you just are wondering, now, what's the purpose of this life? Why am I existing? Look at this world. It's total mess. What are people doing to each other? God has to humble you, dear friends, to come to ask the real question, who is this God? I'm answerable to Him. But remember these verses is saying that God is a gracious God to those who actually seek Him. It says God did not spare His own Son. Now, it's all too easy just to read over those words, isn't it? You've read this. Maybe you've heard it preached in the past. I've certainly preached on this text before. Other preachers have preached on this text before. Christians have read this. It's been read publicly. But it's easy to read it and not really appreciate what we're talking about. Imagine a young woman has just been married for a year or two, and she's happily married. She loves her husband. They have a brand new house. They have a brand new car. They have many, many good things of this world. And suppose Now she has a brand new baby. She's given birth to a baby. And suppose someone knocks on the door and says, I've heard that you've got a new baby. But we don't have any children. Would you sell your child? Would you sell your baby? I'll give you £1 million for this baby. You think about what you could do with £1 million. What would you think that mother would do? She might say, well, I've got this wonderful car. You can have that for this amount of money. I've got my house. You can have my house. And I'll sell you my house. But I won't sell you my baby. I won't sell my child to anybody. But my friends, God gave His own Son to this sinful world. God gave His own beloved Son to us. Gave Him up. Can we really understand it? God delivered up His Son to what? To death. To punishment. To suffer and to die for us. God did not spare His own Son. Many, many years ago, over 200 years ago, I was reading about a German family, a family in Germany, very poor family. And this poor family in Germany, they had four sons. They were starving to death. And the parents decided that they must do something. All of them are going to die if they don't do something. So they said, we have to do something. We will give up and sell one of our children to become a servant to some other family. And this is exactly what happened. So they went and explained to the children. They said, there is nothing else we can do. One of you must become a servant to another family. And so they said, we have to make a choice now. Which one will it be? So they went to the first child and said, oh no, that's our firstborn. We can't sell our firstborn. And then went to the second one, and the mother said, but he looks like you. And then they went to the third one, and then he said, well, he looks like you. And then the last one, oh, that's the child of our old age. He said, we can't sell any of them. We'd rather starve to death than sell any of our children. That really happened. We're all the same. None of us would sell a son. None of us would sell any of our children for anything. For any amount of money. Yet, God, it says here, who loved His own Son. He's loved His Son from eternity past. He's loved Him. There's never been a time that He never loved Him. You know, our children break our hearts, but Jesus never broke the heart of His Father. Our children would do things that would cause us to be upset and angry at times. But Jesus Christ never did that with His Father in heaven. But God, who loved His own Son infinitely, was prepared to deliver Him up for our souls. That's an amazing thing. Nobody here is able to explain it. But it is true. Dear friends, doesn't this prove the love of God? That He was willing to give His Son. He did love His Son. But doesn't it prove His love to us sinners? So let nobody go home from this building and say that God is mean. Let no one go home and say, no, God doesn't mean what He says. He's a mean God and He's a hateful God. Let no one say, I don't know whether God is a God of love or not. And so look at these words of this text. Let them be repeated to you again and again. Ask yourself, did you ever hear anyone who would not spare His own Son, but gave Him away for the sake of others? Yet that is what God did. And this is a holy God. This is a God who actually would be right for Him and just for Him. And the Apostle Paul, he spoke about the fear of God and the dread of God. That knowing that God will punish sinners. This very God, who, when we look at His holiness as His justice, we also must see His love. This God, He gave His Son. How did God not spare His Son? To what did God give Him up? There are three things very quickly. First of all, God gave up His Son to the misery of having to live here for 33 and a half years in this world. You know, the whole mystery of incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, is something that the Christians should remember all the time. You know, every Lord's Day, what are we remembering? That Christ came into this world. How did He come? Through that mystery of the incarnation, that He was born of the Virgin Mary. It's not something that we celebrate every, just once a year. No, my friend, that would be wrong of us to do that. We celebrate that every Lord's Day, regularly. We are remembering Jesus Christ who was born. He lived that perfect life of obedience. He died for our sins and He rose again. So every Lord's Day we remember Him and everything about Him. But can you ever imagine that this pure Son of God coming into this world? Have you ever been to a pigsty? Have you? It smells. It's not nice. But this world is worse than a pigsty. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Think about this, dear friends. Think about this like this. The difference between Jesus Christ on the one hand and all the people on the other. You take Noah, you take Abraham, you take Enoch. All these great men of the Bible and of this world. Think of it like this. They all left this world and went to heaven where they are now. So they turned their back on this world. They have left this world with all of its miseries, with all of its pain, with all of its death and sickness and horrible things that go on in this world. And they go to heaven where they are perfectly happy forever. But God is not keeping His Son in heaven. He delivered Him up for us sinners. He delivered Him up to experience awful things. He came down from heaven. We want to leave this world and go to heaven, but He sent His Son to come down from heaven. God delivered up His Son. God did not spare His own Son. The experience of this, what we experience of just leaving this sinful world. All we have known is this sinful world. And then for a Christian, for a born-again Christian to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ never had the experience of sin, awful things. But He actually came in this world. No one has ever been to heaven and left it. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. No one has gone to heaven and then come back. No one. But Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ to come to this world. He knew what it was to be perfectly happy in heaven. To have the adoration of all the angels. Of worshipping Him. All the saints in glory worshipping the Savior. He knew what it was there to be honored and worshipped. Now having known all of that, God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us to come down into this world. Can you imagine the difference? Another thing, God didn't spare the Lord Jesus Christ, the persecution, the sufferings, the hatred, the cruelty of men. He was the object of everybody's spite. He was the object of everybody's jealousy. As soon as He was born, King Herod sent soldiers to kill Him. As soon as He preached his first sermon in Nazareth, the people of that village rushed Him to the edge of the cliff to cast Him headlong down, to dash Him to death. Hardly had He been baptized and begun His work as a preacher when they said He cast out devils. He's the prince of the devils. That He's demonic. He's got a devil in Him. They insulted Him by calling Him that he was like the Samaritans, a demonic person, a demon-possessed person. They couldn't think of enough nasty and blasphemous things to say about him. And do you know what? Today, to this day, his name is used as a curse word and blasphemy. Some of you used to use his name as a curse word. How many times did you use the name of Jesus without really honoring him? And use the name of God without really thinking who you are addressing? Another thing is this. God did not spare him the cross. Now the cross of Jesus is a word we often talk about. Sometimes people paint them in their windows, in their churches, and sometimes they have the wooden ones in their churches, and they carry it around their neck and their earlobes. But my friends, the cross is the cruel cross. It's the most horrifying thing that could happen to you physically. A cross is a place of horror, pain and torture and misery and death. And God the Father did not spare Jesus, but delivered him up to shame. They named him and they shamed him above his cross as he was suffering for us. There was a name, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And of course, the Jews didn't like that. Still, they don't like it. Still, they hate him. They said to Pontius Pilate, don't call him King of the Jews. But that he called himself. He said that he was the King of the Jews. And Pontius Pilate gave a rather funny answer. What I have written, he said. But God did not spare him all of that suffering and shame, to which we add the pain, to which we add death itself. God did not spare him the experience of death. Death of a slow, lingering kind. Do you want a death that is slow? Or do you want a quick death? If you were to choose, what would you do? You would say, I like to die in my sleep, just peacefully. No pain, no suffering, just a peaceful death. And then wake up, open my eyes in heaven. God did not spare his son. He was nailed to a cross to die by inches, minute by minute, hour by hour. 6 hours on a cross. It's not something that anyone would choose. But this is the very thing. The very thing that our Lord and Savior was delivered over by his Father. He tasted death for sinners like us. Now, do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe that? Is it what you believe? You think about that. Be honest. As you sit there, be honest. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for us? Do you believe that do you put your trust in his death? Do you realize the love of God in giving us this unspeakable gift? Does it mean anything to you personally? Does it move your heart? What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? If the love of God in giving his son to death is in this fashion that I've described, and in this fashion that the scripture describes, is nothing to you, if it doesn't make any difference to your life, then I say you are not converted. You're not converted. If it doesn't move you, you're not converted. How terrible if God should not spare his own son. And you and I have no concern, and it makes no difference to us. The second thing is this. God delivered him up for us all, it says. That's the second truth. First is that God spared not his own son. The second thing is that God delivered him up. Not only it says that God did did not spare him, but that God delivered him up for our sakes, delivered him up for us all. Who was it that put Jesus Christ on the cross? You say, well, I know who it was. Well, Judas Iscariot, he betrayed him. He was the one who betrayed the Lord, so that's him. But it wasn't Judas who placed Christ on the cross. But you say, well, yes, it was Pontius Pilate. He ordered it to be done. He weakly gave and allowed Jesus Christ to be scourged and then to be nailed to that cross. But then someone says, no, it was the soldiers who did that who wielded the hammers and the nails and put his body on the cross. Someone else says, well, no, it was the Pharisees who stirred up the people, because or else he would have gone free. But the Pharisees stirred up the people to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. But the scripture says it was the Father who gave him up. The scripture says, for what did he die? For us. For who did he die? For us. So when all is said and done, it was God the Father who planned from eternity past. And Jesus Christ had already agreed to that. That is part of this covenant, this agreement that was done in eternity past. This is how Jesus Christ would save us. This is how he would come as the King to save man's soul, the city of man's soul, this world of sinners. God delivered him up. These lesser creatures, these men, these mortals, they were only but playing a little miserable part. The great and glorious gift of a crucified Redeemer and Savior was the work of God. That's what it says. God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. According to his eternal will and purpose, God delivered him up, his Son. Not just for the Jews. Not just for people in England, in China, in Middle East, in Africa, in India, in the Far East. No. Whatever place you might name, it's a universal gift. Not a universal salvation. It's not that everybody will be saved. No. But it's a universal gift to whoever will believe him. It's to whoever actually is seeking him, this gift is given. Whosoever will, let him come and take of this blessed gift, this water of life freely, the book of Revelation tells us. It was given for all those who are seeking him. And this wonderful love of God, which lay behind all of that, that God is here, is telling us that he has done. God is not sparing his Son, but delivered him up for us all. It's the proof that God is a God of love. God commendeth, or he demonstrates, he manifests his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the Bible says. Now the Apostle Paul is drawing a conclusion from what he has just said. It's a kind of an argument. He's saying that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God has given us Christ, is there anything that he will not give us? Anything that we need? Of course he will. The answer is anticipated and is expected. Very simple. No. If God has given us Jesus Christ, he will give us everything that we need. Friends, what is the worth? What is the worth you can put on a Christ, a Savior? What is the worth that you can put on the Son of God? What is the price that you can put on the giving of the Son of God? To death, to blood, to agony. To take away the sin of a sinful people like us. Can you put a price on it? There are many people who try it, who try to work and try to be doing religious things and think that by that they can wash away their sins and make themselves right with God. No, you can't rub your sin away. You can't do it. The remains. Have you ever used a pen or pencil? Never use a pen to put underlines on in your books. But if you have used that, that's my my thing that I have on the bee on my bonnet, as the saying is. But if you use a pencil to draw under certain sentences or verses or whatever in your book, even if you use a rubber to rub it out, something is left behind. And with whatever people try to do to wash away their sins, the consequences remain. Various things remain. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all of our sins, all of the stain. Only Christ. And you can't put a value on that, dear friends. You can't put any value on that. To not just have your sins removed, but to have Jesus Christ's goodness and righteousness and blessedness to be added to you. And you haven't done anything for it. You haven't done anything to deserve it. It's amazing. Amazing gift of God. And it is because God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up, gave him up to death, to suffer the punishment of his wrath. God poured his own wrath upon his son for this. And so he says, well, if God has done that, what else can will he give you? Will he not give you all things that you need if you are a child of God, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ? That's an amazing thing. So what should a Christian be? Oh, yes, you should be humble. You should, yes, you should be grieving about your sin, but turning to Jesus Christ all the time and remembering what he has done for your soul and to rejoice in him. You have that interesting story of Martin Luther, who for a season he was very depressed. He was very cast down and he had a very long face. And yet God had blessed him. And God had given him all sorts of things and blessed, used him so mightily. And yet he was depressed, as we can all become very depressed at different seasons of our life. And his wife made a point, didn't she? You have heard this story, many of you. What she did, she wore black. She wore a black dress for a number of days. And he pointed to her and said, "Why are you wearing black these days?" And he says, "Because God has died. That's why. God has died. God is dead." And he says, "Why do you say that? That's blasphemous, what you're saying." He says, "Well, you're walking around as if God has died. And so I thought I'll wear black." And he was brought to know that his action and the way he was going about things, what kind of a witness it was to the people around him. So what you do with all your worries, with all of your thoughts, and we can think about things and overthink things, and we can look at our circumstances, we can look at our past, we can look at all of our failings and all of our sins, and who can't write a book about their sins and their failings? All of us can, and more than books. And yet, you go to Jesus Christ, and you remember these words, God gave up his son. He spared not his son. How foolish it is then for me to not go to him and cast all of these things at his feet. And Jesus now lives. How foolish it is for me to carry on with all of these things in my head and in my heart. And Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. If God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, is that great God not going to give you all things necessary for life and for godliness? He will. He will. And finally, God will give grace to his people. God will give grace. If you are a believing sinner, he gives you his grace every day. You don't have to be hopeless. He gives you all things. He gives you all the grace that you need, all the hope that you need, all the forgiveness that you need, all the strength that you need. He gives you Himself. Even Jesus said, I will be with you always. Imagine that. Imagine someone who is very strong to be walking with you. So when you are weak, that person comes and says to you, I'll carry this load for you. I will carry these bags for you. But then let you carry it, you with your weaknesses and your feebleness. And yet, God has given us Jesus Christ for all of our life. If we are trusting in Him, the problem is that there are those here who yet haven't put down all of their weapons, all of their arguments, all of their questions, all of their doubts and fears. They are still holding on to these things and carry them with them and say, but Jesus Christ is not saving me. He hasn't done anything for me. Well, you haven't given up anything. You haven't died to yourself. You're still carrying all of these things. You're saying, no, I won't really trust Him until I've sorted out these things, until I've fixed my life and all of these issues. No, no, put it all to one side. Go to Him. And He will help you to sort all of the other things out. And then what He does, He carries you. He's walking with you. He gives you all things. That's His grace. It's His grace. So he said to the Apostle Paul, when he felt the great load, and God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. What is grace? We could say it's the acronym for God's riches at Christ's expense. He gives us of His blessings, His riches. But it cost Christ. It wasn't a cheap grace. It is free grace to us, but it's not a cheap grace. It cost Him His blood, His life. So, if you will not have God's gift of His Son, then what will you have? What are you going to have in your life? If you are going to say, no, I won't have it in this way. I won't have it in the way God says. How are you going to have it? There's nothing worthwhile in this world, dear friends. There's nothing truly real in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, without this life, that true life that He gives. How will you be led to death? How will you be arriving in eternity? What kind of an eternity are you facing? So as I close, dear friends, I ask you to think on these things. This verse should prepare your heart to be so thankful for the remembrance of Christ at the Lord's table. You Christians, you think about it. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And I say to you, everyone here, take the Savior and take Him and cast yourself at His feet and say, Lord, be merciful to me. Confess your sins to Him. Call upon His name to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. My load is so heavy. But I've just heard this morning of this wonderful good news of your Son being given for a sinner, just like me. If you never did this before, then you seek Him today, dear friends. If you want to talk about these things, then why not talk afterwards? Stay behind. Talk to us about these things. Ask your questions. But then you can step out into this world, this messed up world, this dark world. It is freezing. It is cold. But then you say, but the sunshine is now upon me. The clouds have gone. All of those things that were laying heavy upon my heart, it's now gone. The sunshine of Jesus Christ is with me. And when it's raining, I have sunshine. When it is snowing, I have sunshine. And all these other things of this life, when my mind is all cloudy, when my memory is gone, Jesus Christ is there with me. He remembers me. That's, dear friends, a wonderful thing. May God bless these thoughts to us. May the Word of God be precious to us. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, bless Thy Word to every soul here this morning. May the Lord Jesus Christ enter in. And may that warmth of His gospel and warmth of His presence remove all the icy cold hearts. And may He give us a new heart that beats for Him, and new eternal life that lives for Him.
In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.